the shayla that was presented this week, even though it was technically in the Asar B'Teva shayla, and some Tevis is really long gone, but nevertheless, the halachic principle behind the shayla is something that really touches on many, many issues that come up really throughout the entire year. It actually was almost a repeat of a similar shayla that I received at Asar B'Teva in two different scenarios. I'll share with you first the three scenarios, then try to understand a little bit what the particulars of the halacha are, the details of the sugya are. Well, the sugya basically revolves around one question. Can I facilitate a person on a fast day to eat? The person themselves are not fasting, they're not observant, they're not even aware of Asar B'Teva. Am I allowed to do something that's going to cause them to eat an Asar B'Teva? Well, the shayla presents itself in three different ways. This particular year presented that somebody had a meeting set up with a group of not yet observant people, and they totally did not realize that the meeting was set up for Asar B'Teva, and they felt it would be a tremendous chil Hashem of the people were going to come to their home, or to their, whatever it was, whatever the setting was, and they're not going to put any food out on the table. They thought that would be very, very poor taste, and they tried to explain to the people that it was a fast day, and observant Jews don't eat that day. They didn't think that was going to be so good of a sell either. It's even the fact that part of the meeting was supposed to try to get people a little bit more positive viewing of Frumkeit and try to eventually almost bring people in. So, after the first introduction that you want to have to a life of Frumkeit is the fact that you're fasting on a Sunday in the middle of the winter time. So that was the first shayla. Are you permitted to put out food for somebody if the person is in effect going to be, you cause them going to be eating on a Sabbat table? So when I heard the shayla, it reminded me of what happened several years earlier. Also, I guess a Sunday Sabbat table is a bad day for these kinds of things. Somebody had asked me a shayla that their not observant relatives had come to visit from out of town. They kind of popped in for a surprise visit on a Sunday noontime on a Asar B'Teva. And the question was, not to serve them, not to give them something to eat. So obviously that wasn't going to go over too well with them either. And the question was, is that a problem of lifnei iver, misayede over aveira, causing somebody to do an aveira? Should that be a problem? So that shayla that originally presented to me several years ago happened at the same time when I had been, that year I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I took a group of bachur from yeshiva. We were running certain different programs there. And one of the things involved, we met with a group of rabbanim who served for rabbanim for the army. It's called, I think, actually the South Kollel. There were about 15, 20 fellows who their job is mamash to sit and to field questions literally from the field. So when any shayla that come to the local, rabbanim on different bases, and it's over their head for answering, so then they send it over to this group of people, and their job is to sit all day and research the shaylas that come up for different issues that come up for the chaylim of the army. So I was asked to speak for this group, and they were, part of my presentation was they were asking me, sharing me different shaylas that had come up. So it was right around the Sefer Tevis time. And one of the shaylas that had been sent, I think the shayla had come after it already happened. I think the people wanted more guidance in the future. But apparently it was Asar B'Teva, and one of the cooks in the kitchen on the base was from. And somebody walked in who was obviously not from, who asked to be served food. Again, there was no issue with pikuach nefesh, and there was no unbelievable tzarach, just the person has to be served. And on a normal day, so he obviously would have, whatever the case would have been, they would have put together something. Question is, can I give food to somebody who is not from an Asar B'Teva? That was the shayla that was presented. So when I heard the shayla, so I said to them, Ashreichem, that you're getting the shayla in Eretz Yisrael and an Israeli army base. I said, I get the same shayla in Bergerfield, but somebody's relatives come to visit them on a Sunday. But it's the same fundamental shayla. I thought we'd spend a little bit of time getting the background of this sugya. What are the parameters of facilitating somebody to do an aveira, helping someone do an aveira, stopping someone from doing an aveira? So the sugya begins with the first of the Mamakomos in Masechet HaVedazar, Davav Amin Aleph, where the Gemara is commenting on the very famous Mishnah at the beginning of Masechet HaVedazar, where the Mishnah talks about a person not doing business deals with non-Jews around the time of their holiday. And that's the whole question, how this plays out with Zman HaZeh. That's already another sugya, already past that time of the year, so it's the next year. But on the holiday, or immediately before the holiday, there's a serious issue and doing different kinds of business deals with non-Jews because we're afraid some of this is going to lead to some kind of a vedazara. The question is, what exactly is going to lead to? What exactly is the problem? So the Gemara raises the question, Yibaylu, Mishum Harvacha, Olduv Mishum Lifna Iver Lo Siten Mechshol. The Gemara says, what are we concerned with? Are we concerned that if I'm going to strike up a deal with a non-Jew and I'm going to sell him something, he's going to be very, very happy, and is being very happy, so he's going to go to his idol the next day, and he's going to praise and thank his idol for all the wonderful business that he just did with the Jew. So that's going to be a problem. Why is that my problem? That's a problem of that not only am I not allowed to mention the name of another god, I'm not allowed to cause somebody else, even a non-Jew, to mention the name of another god. So that problem, the Gemara calls Mishum Harvacha, that he's going to be Marviach, he's going to profit from his deal, and by profiting from his deal, he's going to be in a good mood, and he's going to go and give an extra prayer, and that's going to be an effect on my slate. So that's the reason why it's absurd. Or maybe no. Maybe the reason why it's also is because of Lufthay Evil Osita Mikshal, because I'm causing a stumbling block to him. What's the stumbling block? Well, depending on what I'm selling him. If I'm selling him something that he may use for idol worship, so if I sell him an animal, he may go ahead and take that animal and sacrifice it. If I sell him something that he could use in his religious rights and his pagan rights, so then I'm in violation of Lufthay Evil Osita Mikshal. I'm causing somebody else to do a chait. Let's say, Lamashal, if I give non kosher food to somebody, if I cause somebody else to do Bechel Shabbos, that's a violation of Lifna Iver. That is, so Lifna Iver applies even towards the non-Jew. So that's what the Gemara is not sure. What exactly is the issue? Is the reason why the Mishnah prohibit doing the business with the Goyim right before the holidays, is it because they're going to pray to their gods? It's going to be as if I caused the name to be said. That's my violation of Lo Yishama Picha. Or do I say, no, it's part of the regular rules of Lifna Iver? So the Gemara says, who cares? What's the difference? The Manaf Kamina, what's the difference? What's the difference? The difference is the Isle Behemel Lididei. What if the non-Jew already has his own animals? He's got 20 animals of his own. So, it must be Shema Avocha. If you say, because the non-Jew is making a couple of dollars, how come Avocha late? So that he's going to make money by getting the 21st animal. He's going to be happy with the new animal that he bought. And that is going to cause him to be happy, and that's going to cause him to pray to his idol, and that's going to be my problem. But he must be Shema Avocha. See, the Mishal, it's not today. But if it's based on the Sleeve, what's the problem? What's on the fever? I'm not causing him to sacrifice this animal. He's got another 20 animals of his own to sacrifice. So comes the Gemara and assumes that any time that I cause somebody to do an Avera, but they could have done the Avera themselves. I didn't facilitate it. I didn't literally force them. I gave them an option, opportunity to do it, but they could have easily done it without me. That's not considered to be a violation of Lifna Iver. So we ask the Gemara, is that true? Is that really true? That there's no violation of Lifna Iver of the person who can do it themselves? But Tani, we learned in the Brayta of Rabbi Nosson, Minayin Shlo Yeshit Adam Kais Soyayin LeNazir. How do we know that a person is not allowed to give a cup of wine to a Nazir? The Eivim in a Chayal of Nenoch, or a limb from a live animal to a non-Jew who's not allowed to eat that. Tav Lomav Lifnei Iver Lasite Michshol. The Brayta says that giving wine to a Nazir is a violation of Lifnei Iver. So says the Gemara, what's the problem? You can get wine somewhere else. There are wine stores around. The Hachad Chilu Yavidu Meshachli. He'll take the wine himself. So why is that a violation of Lifna Iver? So at first we thought that Lifna Iver is not violated if he could do it on his own. And now the Gemara is questioning whether that's true. The Gemara says, no, Hakama Askin and Bekoi betray Ivre Nahara. That you're right, that if the person can get the wine himself, or the non-Jew can get the Ivre Menachai himself, that it's not Lifna Iver. What is that Braisa talking about that invokes Lifna Iver? It's literally on two sides of the river, either literally or figuratively. Namely, he's on the other side of the river and he can't get the wine. He's on the other side of the river. He can't get the Eiv Menachai, and I toss it over to him. So that's not Lifna Iver. What the Gemara just told us is that there is an Issam in the Torah of Lifna Iver. I'm not allowed to cause somebody to be Chote. I'm not allowed to cause somebody to sin. But it's only called causing somebody to sin if he couldn't have done it on his own. If he could have just as easily done it on his own, that's not my problem. That's not a violation of Lifna Iver. So it's based on this Gemara that Tosfos has the following observation, the second Maamar Kamos. Well, Lefizeh, says Tosfos, the second Maamar Kamos, Lefizeh, also Lehoshet Lemumrim Navaris Kichavim Navar Isser. Tosfos says, if you have someone who's a Mumal Yavarizar, he's converted to another religion, he was born Jewish, and now he went off the Derech, unfortunately, you know, something that happened in the Middle Ages, he became Mamash a Mumal Yavarizar. So Tosfos says, don't think because he's not from, because he's practicing another religion now, don't think you can give him treifa for food. It's not true. He says, you're not allowed to give him treifa. It's Ava Bishu Shalahem. We know he's going to eat it. If I give him a treifa piece of food, he's going to eat it. And it's still awesome for him to eat that food. There's no way out of Judaism. Once he's born a Jew, he's Jewish forever. Even though he converted to another religion, he's still chayv in all mitzvahs. If I give him a treifa piece of food, that's a problem of the fever. That tells us, when is that true? My Rebbe Dekoy B'Mokam Shlo Yuchal Likach Im Lo Yoshit Lo Yzeh. Uchidamasik Dekoy B'Trevi Naras. As Tosfos, when is this true, that it's a violation of Lifnei Iver? That's only if he's in a position when he couldn't have gotten it on his own. Like the case, like the figurative case, the Gemara of two sides of the river. But let's say he's standing in front of a treifer store, and I give him a piece of meat. That's not Lifnei Iver. He could walk to the store, get the meat himself. That wouldn't be a violation of Lifnei Iver. But Tosfos again just took the Gemara and just extrapolated to another case, but it seems to be basically the same principle. The Lifnei Iver is only violated in a situation where I am the one who's really truly facilitating the chait. If he could have done it on his own, then it's not considered to be my problem. So notwithstanding what the Gemara and what the Tosfos writes, there is another Tosfos that appears in the third of the Maamar Kamos, Tosfos Masechta Shabbos of Gimel and Aleph, where Tosfos questions whether this is true. So Tosfos is discussing somewhat of a complicated story in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara is talking about if a person carries on Shabbos, the only way you can carry on Shabbos in a Torah is you have to do what's called an Akira and a Hanocha. I have to, let's say, I would say if this is down in the street, so I would have to pick this up in the street, do an Akira, and then bring it into the house and put it down. That's called a Hanocha. If I do both of those things, that's an Issa Deraisa potentially of carrying. So the Mishnah and the Gemara talks about all kinds of different scenarios where I did part of it and somebody else did the second half, who's violating an Issa, etc. So Tosfos throws into the mix of that discussion, V'yumtayim v'akavra lifnei iver lo sita michshol. Tosfos says that maybe if the other person assists me in carrying, even though they didn't really violate an Issa carrying per se, maybe that's a violation, maybe that's a prohibition of lifnei iver. Then Tosfos, and again, we're leaving out the details of Masechta Shabbos right now, but now Tosfos makes a point that's important for us again. The afilu ma'irish ha'yochel litlo, afilu ha'ya b'yado, lo'ava mishum lifnei iver, the moshi kosyayim l'nozim, mukla perakam l'sechta v'rezara, the karbetir v'edinahara. That Tosfos, even though you're going to tell me that the person could have carried without me, so that's not called lifnei iver, says Tosfos, because makom iser derabanan mi'aika. Says Tosfos, when did the Gemara mean in Masechta Avodah Zarah that there's no lifnei iver? The Gemara just meant to say there's no diarais of lifnei iver. To say that it's mutter, you're allowed to go ahead and help people do aveiras. I'm allowed to hide behind the fact, well, he can do it himself, so therefore it's okay. I can facilitate aveiras as long as he can do it himself. Tosfos says absolutely not. Tosfos says there's no heter. Just because the Gemara says you're not chayiv, it's not an issa deraisa, there's a far cry from not being an issa deraisa to being mutl chachila. It's for sure an issa derabbanan. Shechayiv afishem yisra vada nevada. I have to stop a person from doing chatoim. So basically, now, based on the first three of the Maamar Kamos, we have almost a little bit of a toned down principle. We thought we had this grandiose klal hukas lifnei iver, that as long as the fellow could do it on his own, hetagam, or I can give him treifas, I can give him yayin to the nose, I can give him a chayv, it doesn't matter, everything's okay. Like Tosfos and Avodah Zarah sounded like. And now Tosfos at the Shabbos gets more weary about it and says, not so posh, not so simple. Tosfos says, derais, it's okay, but who says that it's mutter lechatchila? So how do we paskin in the halacha about this question? Do we accept this Tosfos and Masechta Shabbos' hesitation? Or maybe we should follow the Tosfos and the simple reading of the Gemara Avodah Zarah that's mamash is mutter lechatchila? What is the din? So in the Shulchan Aruch, in your day at Hukas Avodah Zarah and Tzibukuf Tanala from the fourth of the Maamar Kamos. So Tosfos quotes, the Ramah quotes, it's the second line in the Ramah, beginning of the second line. Yesh Omrim, Hada Asa Limkolem Devar Mashayachim Avodasam, says the Ramah, when is there a prohibition to sell to a non-Jew something that they're going to use for their Avodah Zarah? Harudavkam Ein Lemachem Kayetibo. That's only a situation where they don't have something else of their own. They don't have a similar item. Or they don't have the ability to get the similar item. But if the person, the non-Jew, can easily get it somewhere else, then it's mutter to sell them whatever I want. This is a quote right out of the Mordechai, which is in fact right out of the Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, which is right out of the Gemara Avodah Zarah. So this first opinion the Ramah says, that it's permissible. Not only is it permissible in the Torah, but the Ramah is quoting a Sefer HaLach. He's not just telling you what the Dinim Derais are. He's telling you HaLach Lamais. It's Mutter. So the first opinion of the Ramah is that it's Mutter Limkom Lahem Kol Dover. Everything is okay as long as he can get it by himself. But then the Ramah gets a little bit weary. Then the Ramah backpedals a little bit. V'yesh Machmirin. There are those who are Machmir. Who are the Machmirim? So he quotes in the parentheses, a Tosfos and a Rosh and a Gos Mordechai and the first Berachah Masechta Shabbos, which is basically that Tosfos that we saw in Daf Gimel Masechta Shabbos. So says the Ramah, how should we be noheg now? The first opinion, the Ramah, was Mekel outright. It's Mutl Chetchila, like the simple reading of the Gemara. Then the Yesh Machmirim say, no, not so simple. Maybe it's the loss of the Rabbanon. The Ramah almost leaves us hanging a little bit. The Nagul Hakol Kisvah HaRishayna, Ramah writes that the custom has become to be very lenient about this, like the first opinion. The Chobar Nefesh Yachmel Yatzmai. But says the Rav, you want to know what the right thing to do is, the more correct thing to do? Bal Nefesh, the person wants to live with Machmir, so we probably should be concerned with Tosfos' opinion. That's the Yesh Machmir. So again, so we have Agamar Navod Azar that sounds like it's okay. Tosfos Navod Azar sounded like it was okay. Tosfos in Shabbos says, no, it's not so okay. It's not Min HaTorah, but it's a loss of Midrash Rabbanon. And basically presented as 2 days in the Ramah how we should be Noik L'maisa. So notwithstanding the way the Ramah understood the Sugya, that there's actually a Machlokes, there are really 2 different opinions in the Rishonim, and the Ramah wasn't Machwi 100%. The particular case is a potential deraisa, but it probably wouldn't make much of a difference because there is lifnei iver on isurim derabanan also, so it probably wouldn't make much of a difference. It's a suffer. Right, I mean, it was like a trade rabban. Interesting. There's a fascinating minchas chinuch, when minchas chinuch suggests that if I cause somebody to violate an isur derabanan, that may be an isur deraisa for me. How in the world could that be? If he does it, if I give him, let's say, bishalachim, I give him food cooked by a non-Jew, kosher food, but it's bishalachim, so the Chinuch suggests the fellow who eats it is only violating a derabanan, but I'm violating their eyes. Why? Because lifnei iver also includes giving a person bad advice. If I give an eitah she'enu hagenes, that's an isser of lifnei iver. So says the Chinuch, causing a person to violate an isser derabanan is no better than giving him bad advice. It means I told him a bad thing to do, something that's going to be detrimental to him. It's a very strange thing. I'm not sure whether we can make a cheshbon that it's a lift even a derabbanan because maybe every lift even may ultimately become a deraisa, maybe. But notwithstanding the way the Ramah's presentation of the sugya is that there's a real machlok is here. The Ramah leaves us someone hanging how to be machriya. And the fifth of the Ramah is the Shach in Yeridah, and that Ramah presents a whole different way of reading the sugya. Comes the Shach and says, V'yesh Omrim, Svirulei d'chihechid yaminim b'shas gabi nazir d'os l'hoshet yokos yayin, ten l'davke b'dekar b'teri v'dinahara, so all cases of lifnei iver are permissible, even lechatchila, if the guy can get it himself. V'yesh machmirim v'sovrim d'bekamachom isim midrabanan ika, afilu havik motev v'dinahara, says the Shach, v'chozel adas harav. This is all, the Rav is the Ramah, this is all the way the Ramah learned Pshat in the Sugya, that this machlek is 2 days in the Rishayim. Aval afini is daiti, says the Shach. The loy pligi says, nah, there's no machlekis. The Kuliyama Modim La Mordechai tells the Perkamner the Avaris Kechavim, the Kechavim of Umar Shari, or goes Mordechai tells us where Rosh Perkam the Shabbos, where Ram Perkam the Vazor, Maribi Israel, Shuchai Lafisha Meyeser. Comes the Shach and says, if you look really carefully in the Rishonim, you notice that the different Rishonim were saying different things, they're talking about different cases. In one case, we're talking about I'm causing a non Jew to do an Aveira. Or I'm causing a Yisrael Mumar, someone who's really, really, became like a different religion. When I'm causing a non-Jew or a Mumar to do an Aveira, that's one sugya. The other sugya is when I'm causing another Jew, a regular Torah observant Jew, to do an Aveira. So he says, if you look carefully at the Rishonim, all the Rishonim who said that's Mutal Lechatchila, as long as he can do it himself. So that's talking about a non-Jew or a Mumar. All the Rishonim who said that it's still awesome in the Rabbanon, they're talking about a regular Yisrael, a regular from Jew. Nebuchadnezzar is making a mistake now, but he's basically a Yisrael Gomor. So such a person, there would be an Issa Derabban. What's Pshat in the Shach? Ramon of Shach. If lifnei iver applies even to non-Jews, if lifnei iver applies even to Mumrim, everyone agrees to that. So why do we say that? Well, the second level doesn't apply. So that was a Ramon of Shach question on the Shach. If you think that lifnei iver only means when he can't do it himself, and I cause him to do it, if that's your real hardcore definition of lifnei iver, and if it doesn't meet those criteria, then it's mutter, then it should be mutter all the time. If you believe some kind of an issa derabanan lurking behind the scenes, so then why shouldn't this issa derabanan apply, no matter who the person is, whether he's a Jew, non-Jew, mumer, lifnei iver, the rules are all the same. So what's Pshat in the Shach? The Shach already began to discuss it, and he elaborates a little bit more, and basically the Shach develops as the following cloud. So it's like a brisk Shach. There are two halachas here, says the Shach. There's one issa called lifnei iver. That's the deraisa of lifnei iver. And when it comes to the deraisa of lifnei iver is only violated if you are the one who's causing him to be chayte. If he could have done it on his own, you just cannot call that lifniver, and it's over. So why should there be a secondary problem? What's the dirabon in a sense? What's the lower level prohibition? Says the Shach, there's a general mitzvah that I'm supposed to stop people from doing aveiros. If I see somebody doing something wrong, if it's efshel afrish, I'm supposed to be mafrish, I'm supposed to stop it. So again, sometimes it's not practical, especially this man of zen, not always that feasible to stop a person. But in theory, lo yitzuyah, that we're living in a world, it's hard to call it a perfect world, because if it was a perfect world, then he wouldn't be doing aveiros. But it's an imperfect, a perfect imperfect world, that I see somebody doing a chait, and I have the koch to stop him, I'm supposed to try to stop him. That mitzvah, lafrisha meyisr, says the Shach, is the engine that's driving this quote-unquote second level of sna'iva, this dirabon and dikah problem. How in the world, with a clear conscience, can I give a person something, I give him treifas to eat, and I'll say, not my problem, because he can get it from McDonald's himself. True, we can't hit you with lifnei iver. True, we can't accuse you of violating lifnei iver, because whenever he can do it himself, that's not lifnei iver. Those are the rules of lifnei iver. But at the end of the day, if I see somebody being chayti on their own, I have to stop them. So kav chomer, I can't do something to assist them. So says the Shach, that's a second level. That's not the real lifniver. That falls under the category of la frisha meyisur / dirabban lifniver. That's the dirabban lifniver that Tosfos and Shabbos is referring to. It emanates from the chiyuv la frisha meyisur. And then the Shach makes two statements. One of them is fairly simple, and the second one is more difficult to understand. So says the Shach, when you're dealing with a Jew, if the recipient of the chait, the thing that you're handing him, he's a Torah observant Jew, so then true there's no lifniver because he can get it on his own, but you still have to reckon, you still have to cheshbon with lafrisha meyisur. But if the person is a non-Jew, I'm not mechuyev to be mafrish non-Jews from doing aveiros. I can't give eivah min hachai to a non-Jew. I can't actively feed him eivah min hachai. But if I see a non-Jew eating eivah min hachai, I'm mechuyev to run around and stop him. Like mecha tasting, there's no mitzvah ches techech sabisecha. There's no din lafrisha meyisur. A non-Jew wants to do the aveiros, do the aveiros. So for me to hand them the aver, I can't do. But for me to actively stop it, I'm not obligated. That's a special chiv I have towards a fellow Jew. So therefore, the Shach says, if I hand over a piece of tray for meat to a Jew, even though he's standing in front of McDonald's, he can get the meat himself. But if I help him along the way, lifniver it's not, but lafrisha meyisur it is. It's an obligation of lafrisha meyisur. But if he's a non-Jew and he's standing in front of an Eved Menachai store, and I hand him a piece of Eved Menachai, that's totally okay. That's perfectly mutl l'chetchila. There's no lefneiver, and there's no chiv l'afrisha meyisur. So far, the two categories that the Shach developed for us make a lot of sense. It's the Jew in contrast to the non-Jew. The problem is where the third person comes in, and that's the case of the Yisrael Mumar. So the Yisrael Mumar, now again, the Tosfos is talking about a Jew mamish converted to another religion. So Tosfos and the Shach are talking about very, very heavy-duty cases of a Yisrael Mumar. The Shach is saying, somehow, l'afrisha meyisur doesn't apply to Yisrael Mumar. The question is, why not? What is it about a Yisrael Mumar that the chiyuv of lafrisha meyisur doesn't kick in, which translates to mean that I can give him something as long as he could get it on his own? So one could have understood the Shach as saying that the Yisrael Mumar, who's totally not keeping any of the mitzvahs, he's not much converted to another religion, so many of the special, unique obligations between a Jew and a Jew don't refer to him. Many of the mitzvahs that emanate from the halacha kamocha, many of those halachas don't apply to somebody who's so far off that he went and accepted another religion. If that would be the case, then this Shach would be basically irrelevant for us. There's none of that. When we're dealing with people who are not observant, the Jews today, we're not dealing with the Yisrael Mumrim. We're dealing with a whole different category of person. Where the Rambam uses the phrase of a tinech shenishpa. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos speaks about a little baby, a Jewish baby that was taken captive by the goyim and raised as a goy. He doesn't know anything about mitzvahs. It's nebuch, it's a rachbanus, it's not his fault. We have to try to do whatever we can in the chesed and after the chamocha and try to bring him back to the fold. So the Rambam writes in Luchos Mamrim, you can have a person who's not physically a tzidik shenishpa, but they are spiritually a tzidik shenishpa. Namely, the Rambam writes, they were raised, not a pitar mitzvahs. So they have no idea what Torah mitzvahs is. So even though in theory, at one point they bump into someone who tells them a little bit about Torah, they read an article about observing Judaism, it doesn't mean anything to them. So someone who wasn't raised properly, the Rambam writes, has the halachic status like a tzidik shenishpa, and they're a shaygeng, it's not their fault. We have to reach them, the Rambam writes, with a derech ava. We have to go out and try to do as much as we can to try to help them. So if we're going with the Shach categories now, that there's a Jew and there's a non-Jew, and then Yisrael Mumar is almost like a non-Jew for these purposes, that's not going to apply to Zman HaZeh. The Zman Hazeh, we're not going to call anybody out. Mumar, we're not dealing with people who converted to other religions. We're not dealing with people who grew up from and rebelled. So the 99% of the people we're talking about, people who Pasha don't really know any better. So if that's the case, that's going to cause us more trouble in terms of the Shehiver. Because what that's going to mean is that the quote-unquote Yisrael Mumrim today are really Yisraelim, are really Yisraelim Gemurim. They're really regular full-fledged Jews with all the rights and privileges. And as such, then I have to be concerned. I can't cause them to do Averis. So we like that Hagdara. We like the definition of non-from Jews today as being Yisrael, as being, you know, Latinok Shanishbas, but that's going to lead to a big Chumra and these types of Shailas. Unless one has a different understanding of the Shach. That's what the Nebi Yehuda writes, that he thinks that's not what the Shach meant. He thinks that the Shach meant that when you have a Yisrael Mumar, the reason why there's no mitzvah lafrisha miyisr is not because he's so far off the derech and he's such a rusha marusha and we say, oh, we want to have nothing to do with him. That's not the reason why. The reason is that the din of lafrisha miyisr applies to someone who's potentially going to listen to us. If you have someone who we know is not going to listen to us, you're going to go give musar to the person who just accepted another religion. You just converted to another religion. So you're going to give him a whole story and say, no, please don't eat treif anymore. He's going to laugh. He said, he's not Jewish. His body's not Jewish anymore. So there's no mitzvah lafrisha miyisr to someone who's bechlal, not being gorish, not on his radar screen to listen to what you have to say. According to the Neguda, if that's the case, then you can have an individual bezman hazeh, who, although he's technically a good person, and we have rachmanis on him, and we're going to try to be nice to him, we're going to take care of him, but at the end of the day, if you're going to give him a speech now and tell him, by the way, this is treif, he's not going to know what you're talking about. There's not one in a million chance he's going to listen to you. So it could be you're not mechuyif to start up with him. You're not mechuyif to lafrisha miyisr. It's not your problem. So if that's the case, that lafrisha miyisr doesn't apply to someone who bechlal is not going to listen to you, if that's the case, again, this doesn't negate the requirement to try to be mekarev and try to derech ava, etc. But in terms of the formal requirement, lafrisha miyisr may not apply to a person who's in the state of being, of quote unquote, being mazed, even though he's a shogeg, but he's a mazed in the sense of that's not even in the ballpark to listen to you. If that's the case, then the second lifneiver may not apply to him. Maybe the only real true lifneiver is a lifneiver, which is when I cause him absolutely to do the aveir. He couldn't have done it without me. But any case where he could have done it without me, so then it's not lifneiver deraisa. The worst it is lafrisha miyisr. And according to the shach, the nebuta lafrisha miyisr may not apply. So this shach and nebuta are quoted very, very often, way beyond the scope of a sarbet teva shaylas. These shaylas happen all the time. Somebody asks you, you're at work, and a co-worker asks you to go down to the store a bit, bring me up a tray for hot dog or something. The co-worker happens to be Jewish. So he said, putting aside my Marisai and other issues of buying the tray for food, can I give him something? Can I give him tray for sanat? Is that lifnei iver? So lifnei iver they're right, it's probably not, because he walked downstairs himself also. So the worst it's going to be is lafrisha miyisr. Now, am I mechuyif to be such a person miyisr? So according to what the shach and the nebuta are telling us, maybe not, because the person is not literally Yisrael Mumar, but for our purposes, he's like Yisrael Mumar in the sense of the guy doesn't know anything about Yiddishkeit. I'm going to explain to him on the spot. No, I don't want to give you the treif hatzot because it's not kosher. That's going to look like I'm absolutely crazy. So whatever the person's response is going to be, that I don't know what you're talking about. It's not even on my radar screen. So maybe that would be like the halacha equivalent of a Yisrael Mumar. But this becomes potentially very, very helpful in many scenarios. But sometimes someone just asked Bishayla this week. What's out of Bishayla? He asked me, are they allowed to be a waiter in a non-kosher establishment? Well, the question is, the Jew comes in, it's not listening for the Araisa because he'll be another waiter. He's sitting at a different table, he's sitting in my table, go to a different restaurant. But the question is there some kind of a problem to Rabbanan? So again, if the nature of the Yisra de Rabbanan is the Shach, and if you just say, it's Lafrisha Meyisar, if a guy comes in the Mother Shach, if the guy knows about kashrus, hopefully he won't be eating there. If he doesn't, never heard of kashrus, It's not in his register for him, then maybe that wouldn't be a problem of free shabbos. So when some of these shouts about a sermon tavis came our way, so we're thinking perhaps along these lines. You have to go case by case and see. Let's say a person comes into your house and the bracha will come to visit you and they want something to eat on a sermon tavis. So is that a lifnei iver, a real lifnei iver to give it to them? Probably not, because they'll go outside, they'll eat somewhere else, they'll go across the street, they might put up something in the store themselves. No, probably not a real lifneiver. Eloah, it's lafrisha miyisr. So imagine if I would try to be mafrisha person miyisr. I would start to say to them, let me explain to you about the 10th day of Tevis. They don't know what Shabbos is. The 10th day of Tevis, the whole thing is not shayach. So it could be that according to this Nebi Yehuda, when the person is not going to be makabel b'chlal, so maybe that's not considered to be included in lafrisha miyisr. And as such, the second type, the lower level, quote-unquote, lifneiver, the rabbanan, wouldn't apply to such a person. So those types, again, you'd have to go case by case and see, is it really true that they wouldn't have gotten the food themselves? They could have gotten the food themselves if they could have gotten the food themselves. The fellow in the army base, he could have also, he could have gone to the kitchen, found something to eat. He didn't necessarily need me to give it to him. So it could be that a lot of these cases, the person would be able to get the same food in a different way without me being involved. If that's the case, then maybe realistically, if I wouldn't apply, the worst it would be is this lower level of Afrisha Miyasa, which quite possibly wouldn't apply under many of these kinds of scenarios. In some of these cases, there may be other mitigating factors, particularly three stories about Asar B'Tavis, there may be other mitigating factors involved. There is a famous psak from Shlomo Zalman that's commenting on the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if you know a person is not going to make a bracha, you're not supposed to give him food to eat. That would be a problem with the Iver. So Shlomo Zalman says, what if it's a type of a situation where the person is going to resent that you don't give him food? The guy comes in a hot day, you don't offer him a cold drink, the guy's going to be very upset at you. So Shlomo Zalman said, then you mechuyev to give him the drink. Why? He's not going to make a bracha. If you don't give him the drink, then you're being machshel him in a more serious avera. You're being machshel him in the avera of losista techicha buvavecha. You're now going to despise him. He's going to hate you. He's going to think low of you. So Shlomo Zalman says, when you make a chesed, when you make a calculation of lifnei iver, so lifnei iver, you have to figure what's the total net gain and net loss. So yes, it's true, wonderful. I wasn't machshel him to eat without a bracha. On the other hand, I just gave him a bad taste for frum Jews for the rest of his life. He's going to despise me. He's going to despise all the other frum Jews. So that's a more of a lifnei iver. So you have to make a chesed in these kinds of cases that maybe my not giving the person the relative who comes in, they're going to be more upset at me, or the not yet observant soldier who comes in, whatever wants something to eat. So it's going to be a more of a mikshah. We mach them to get into a fight with me, to despise me. That's a more of a serious problem of lifnei iver. Then there's a third possibility, which is based on a tshuva in Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe writes that lifnei iver only applies when the chait that we're dealing with is something that's really also l'chol ha'deis. What if it's something that's not also l'chol ha'deis? What if you have a particular action, but there are certain opinions that say it's okay? So it could be that this person asked his rabbi, and his rabbi could paskin that it's mutter. Again, assuming that it's a legitimate halach opinion. So what do you mean lifnei iver? Just because you think it's also, why does that make a lifnei iver? To give it to him. Then Rav Moshe writes, and what if he didn't ask his rabbi? He's not asking Rabbanim, he doesn't know from Rabbanim. He thinks it's mutter. Somebody told him it's mutter, or nobody. If he would have known who they asked, they would have told him it's mutter. It's the feed of if it's what he's doing is mutter, and there is an opinion out there that claims that it's mutter. So Rav Moshe has a chiddush that even though I don't follow that opinion, I think that's the minority opinion. I think that opinion is not correct. It doesn't matter from the chesed or lifnei iver. That's not considered to be a problem. So Rav Moshe actually had this tshuva, a very famous tshuva. It was about using a shrogim during the Shnas HaShmita. So there are many different issues that were in the olden years. Now things are significantly better. But in years ago, so the Esrogim during the Shnas HaShmita that would come to America were all relying on what we call the Hetter Mechira, selling the Eretz Yisrael to the non-Jews for the Shemitah year, which again was the big machlokes. So Rav Moshe was asked the question, if I buy an Esrog from a dealer who's dealing in Peor Shvias, so you're not supposed to be making business, you're not supposed to be doing business deals with the Peor Shvias, so the dealer, the guy who's selling the Esrog, he's relying on the Hetter Mechira. I don't want to rely on the Hetter Mechira. So is that a lifnei iver? If I'm going to buy the Esrog from him, I'm in effect causing him to do things that I think are asa. So Moshe writes, no, that's not called lifnei iver. Because he asked his rabbi. His rabbi told him that it's okay. You don't want to rely on the Hetter Mechira. It's your choice. But Moshe doesn't make a stand on the Hetter Mechira one way or the other in this tshuva. Moshe just says that if he has someone to rely on, he has a valid opinion, even though it's a das yochid, and even though you don't want to rely on that, whatever the case may be, as long as he's relying on a valid halachic opinion, that's still considered to be no longer a violation of lifnei iver. The Moshe writes in that tshuva that the only way to declare that an opinion is mamish completely, totally invalid, off the charts, you would have to have like a psak of the kol chachmei Yisrael, the whole Torah world would accept a certain position, and a position would be rejected, so then maybe that would become no longer reliable. But if you don't have something like that, it's not as crystal clear as that, so then that's not considered to be a violation of the faith anymore. I was thinking, maybe a little bit of a stretch, there is a tradition for Reb Chaim that was observed by some of the briskers, not so many of them anymore, some of the briskers who were of the opinion that on the lower level, tiniest, there's not a zeh, so perhaps the person doesn't have to fast. What is that based on? Because the din is that a chole, even a chole she'ein by sakana, is not obligated to fast on these tiniest. Reb Chaim was concerned that people are very weak, and he was concerned that people feel very schwach. Maybe everyone has a status of a chalish ember sakana b'zman hazeh. You know, the briskets were very machped on Yom Ruchayla. So some of the real hardcore, you know, families from Chaim's family members actually didn't fast on these quote unquote lower level tainiyos. So again, is that something that generally practiced today? I don't think that's a conventional, psak b'zman hazeh. But I think there probably still are a few of the briskets still left who have this coolest, one of the few brisket coolers that exist. Again, would I say that if somebody came and asked me a shayla, if a person is perfectly healthy, would I say that they should rely on this? No. On the other hand, if the non-firm person is a brisker, sounds a little bit strange. The non-firm person is relying on a sheet that's das yochid, and on this shtickel tarif Rav Chaim. Again, if they would ask me a shayla, I would say no, you should fast. But on the other hand, they're not asking me a shayla. I'm covered with a lifnei iver shayla. So I want to know, am I being machshel you? Is that called being machshel you? I can't call it being machshel you. If you'd ask Rav Chaim would say, you don't have to fast this man as that. So it's hard to call that a lifnei iver l'seid mishnah. So again, I don't know if I would say that outright, but betzira of a few of the other things that we said, that we're not so sure that this is a lifnei iver altogether, because the person could be, in many of these cases, the person would have gotten the food anyway. And the worst there is a lower level, which probably doesn't apply according to the Shachar and the Yehuda. Also, the truth of the fact that in many of these cases, if I hold back the medium food, they create a Sechel Hashem, and maybe left the bigger Averis, and having negative feelings about myself and about firm people in general, and combined with this little sniff, a little bit of Rav Chaim, that maybe it's not considered to be a Lefneiver. That's what in many of these types of scenarios, one could perhaps put together three different coolers. To perhaps be matter these types of situations. So again, even though the shilas per se were sort of potato shilas, these set the stage for many shilas. Many similar kinds of shilas happen at work and other anytime one interacts with people who are not yet Torah observant, one has to always keep into mind some of these calculations in terms of the thing. This is just next week I'll be in Eretz Yisrael, it won't be a shiur. The following week is yeshiva week. A lot of people away. Does that affect the Olam here or? People still around? I think we've graduated. We've graduated. That's why okay. Unless the grandchildren. Okay. So tentatively we're.